Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ian Schur is an editor-at-large at CNET. Hi, Ian. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
It's always a pleasure to visit with you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I asked you to join us today. What will these big tech giants be saying to the Congress today, and why are they being called up to the Capitol Hill?
Yeah, let's start with the second question. The reason they're being called up to Capitol Hill is that this is an election year, and it is really popular to beat up on the tech industry right now. You know, and for a lot of good reasons. We've had a just unending list of scandals around privacy issues, election interference, all sorts of stuff. And a number of legislators have kind of grabbed onto this idea of antitrust issues. You know, the way that we can punish the tech companies for all the wrongdoing they've done is to start looking at them through antitrust. And that's what this hearing's going to be about. Now, let's be clear, this is mostly for show, right? This is going to be so that congressmen can yell at them and then put it into a campaign ad. There's not much expected to actually change here, and there are still ongoing investigations with the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission that are separate from all of this. So in a lot of ways, this is political theater. What we're expecting to hear from the tech companies, of course, is that they are, you know, the American dream, right? They create a ton of jobs. They have helped to bolster the economy. You know, I found a study out once that I wrote about on CNET that if you took the tech industry together in the United States, it would represent like a fifth of the world's economy or something like that. It's massive. So, you know, they're going to make this argument that they are the American dream. And even though they are huge and they have unbelievable amounts of power, they are actually still small fishes in their relative industries. I know that sounds crazy, but Apple doesn't own a majority share of iPhone smartphones sold. Amazon does not represent a majority of retail sales, even if they are a majority of online sales. So it's stuff like that they're going to argue throughout this presentation.
Okay. Do you think that insulates them from antitrust accusations, from being trust, from being too powerful, from having monopolistic control?
You know, the thing is that there is a test that used to exist around antitrust, which is the harm to a consumer and the harm to other businesses, right? The idea that you're distorting a market. And a lot of those tests have been changed over the last couple of years, the last couple of decades, because companies have convinced various parts of the government to stop really looking at antitrust issues. But if you consider what antitrust and trust busting was like in the 1900s when this really started up, that was what was going to go on. And so you could argue if Amazon is able to say, hey, you know, we're going to undercut everyone's prices with our own products that we sell, you know, the same version of the cord that Apple sells, but cheaper, and we're going to have it be the top result when you go and search for it, then maybe you could argue they're distorting the market. And if Apple is charging a fee for every app that goes through its app store that charges an amount of money, then you could argue they are artificially raising the prices of products and thus distorting the market. So these are the things that are, in a lot of ways, a philosophical debate, and we're going to really be looking to see whether or not Congress is giving an indication of where they stand. And then also, we're going to be really curious to see how the other regulators in the FTC and the DOJ eventually feel about this, too.
Are you on their side, though? Do you favor the position of the big tech companies here?
I think that there's an argument to be made on both sides, and that's why this is going on. It's not clear-cut.
Okay.
And what I think is going to end up happening is it's going to be like the Microsoft case, where it's going to come down to a judge says, yeah, you are distorting the market and you are a monopoly, but still allows them to exist as they are.
Well, let me just give you one position and tell me what's wrong with this. So I use Facebook, Google. I interface with all of these platforms, and I know that they're mining my data and selling it to people, but you know what? That's not my everyday concern. Here's what happens. I open up my laptop and I Google something and I get information. I go on Facebook and I see pictures of friends. It works for me. I really don't see how on a day-to-day basis I'm being harmed by the business I opted into of these private companies.
And I think that they would make that argument as well. The challenge that I think a lot of the people who are against these companies are making is they're not saying, hey, I don't like that these companies exist or that they do what they do. It's that they've become so powerful and so large that innovation and competition cannot happen.
Well,
right? Go ahead.
Well, so Zuckerberg says, look, TikTok's right there. TikTok-ing on our door all of the time.
Right.
We are constantly being peppered with competition. You know, you used to think that nobody could unseat McDonald's or that there would be no competition for Starbucks. Turns out they're not perfect either. So talk about that position that Zuckerberg takes.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be interesting is that I don't know how smart Zuckerberg's going to be in the end about this, but he's not just making the case that TikTok exists. He's going to make the case. We've seen his early testimony, we've written about it on CNET, is that he's going to make the case that, you know, you all should be thankful that it's an American company and someone like him running these large social networks and not someone from a repressive regime like China. And it's worth remembering that TikTok is owned by a Chinese company. And even though there's no evidence so far of any bad doing, a lot of people are concerned, including President Trump, that the data that goes into TikTok could eventually be accessed by the Chinese government. So these are the kinds of things that you're going to start seeing as a little bit of what some people might argue would be xenophobic, right? Arguing, hey,
yeah,
let's stick to American companies. Doesn't matter what we're doing. Let's worry about the bigger picture.
I think that
and I don't know if that's going to work, but that's his argument.
I guess it depends on who you're asking. I think a lot of people line of logic would play. One last thing then, briefly, if you don't mind, what do you make of silencing political voices, the president's or Don Jr.'s or anybody else's? Is that going to be part of the conversation today?
Oh, without question, at least half of the room is going to be asking that question, right? And Twitter did not make it easier when they decided to, as you mentioned, suspend Donald Trump Jr.'s account because he had shared misinformation about coronavirus. And the thing that's going to be hard here is that the companies have, for a long time, they have not policed their platforms. And people like me have yelled at them over it and said, look, you've got the spread of hate and you've got the spread of misinformation. And then the election in 2016 happens and everyone wakes up to all these problems. And now they're starting to police their platforms. But, of course, they're getting a ton of pushback because they never did before. And we have to say, well, what are the rules? Why are everyone treated differently from others and all those things? And that is what they're really up against. And I'm curious to see how it'll play out. But generally speaking, the companies are trying to set one set of rules that everyone follows, except for the President of the United States, who gets to tweet whatever he wants.
And maybe he should, goes an argument. You and I will have another day. Thanks for joining us today, Ian. And it's always a pleasure to hear you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We don't have time for that today, but I'm glad you could join us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Ian Schur at CNET.com.